whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Oh my God, just get me a quarterback. I don't care. I don't care who the head coach is. Well, I kind of do. I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. Well, I kind of do. It doesn't really matter. Just get me a quarterback. And yes, good morning. You're like, where the hell is Ken? Ken doesn't feel good today. He's got Ken has the sniffles. Is that what it is, Owen? He's sniffles.
Ken is under the weather.
Ken is under the weather. So at the last minute, Keith calls into the bullpen. Daryl Ryder, good morning. You are already scheduled to be here.
Personally, I think Ken just didn't want to spend 4 hours with me. I can't blame him.
I don't blame you. Two were ready to go toe-to-toe earlier in the week. Of course, I keep a pulse of what's going on with these other shows. Normally, during middays, we try not to talk about the other shows. I would talk all day about the other shows, but Jeff's like, let those guys do their thing. So I'm in today. Mitch, thank you for taking care of us this morning. I appreciate, you know, I feel like we got the rookies in on the morning show. You're a good man. Tuscarora's County. Love everything about him. Don't you? You love everything about him?
Oh, Mitch is my favorite.
He is. The Mitch Please segment, like, I'm locked in. You're doing a fantastic job. How long have you been here doing this gig?
About a year and a half.
Year and a half. So you're about set to leave. Congratulations. Your next job is on its way. I mean, these guys run through producers faster than most people drink water. I'm just saying that. So that means you're doing a good job. I'm just letting you know that.
Thank you.
This is like Good Friday for you. Daryl, how are you, my friend?
I'm perfectly fine.
Are you good?
I unlike Kevin Stefanski, I'm not huffing and puffing as I walk into the studio this morning. That was something yesterday, man.
Man, that was hysterical yesterday. All right, so obviously that's a big story today. Tommy Rees talking yesterday. How about let's give it up for Donovan Mitchell, all-star starter. Congratulations. Woo! Yeah. I bring my own sound effects. All right, good for you.
Yeah, we don't have a budget for you guys in different sound effects.
We don't have clapping in there. We can't get the clap at 6 in the morning here to get going here.
Closest I can get is the Married with Children crowd.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
I we like have it. The It's Always Game Day in Cleveland budget this morning.
Broken microphone? Is that what it is? By the
Wait,
way,
do you mean the podcast that you guys host with fresh episodes sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution?
That is exactly
that
correct.
Is
wow, good job, man.
Awesome.
Thank you. My boys at Smiley One, I'm sure they're... Man, they're all over the place the last couple weeks. They're here quick,
it's
though.
The game day in Cleveland takeover of the Ken Carmen show.
Yeah, I feel bad, man. I feel
they're,
bad.
They're going to regret this.
No, they're not. They'll be okay. Daryl, all right, let's like, when I get serious, I feel like I've got to play the Phelps role on this thing. So, all right,
you have
guys
to be
are
adult
all,
this morning.
While
I'm
you
sorry.
Guys are all screwing around talking about other stuff, let's talk about that hard-hitting press conference we had yesterday. Are we going to sit here and debate the merits of playing an entire press conference for everybody yesterday? Can we actually talk about...
No, we have a podcast for that.
I mean, seriously, Owen, we spent... What did we spend, 15 minutes yelling at each other about the...
At least.
The logistics of actually airing a press conference and why they're important and why they're not. And I don't like when you guys air press conferences.
I just wanted to congratulate you on getting another half hour off your show. That's all.
That's right. Do you know how much soup I can eat in a half hour? Do you know how many trips we make down to the restaurant downstairs and back?
I don't know how conference? Much you'll do, but I know how much you'll try. At least 30 minutes worth. Right? Oh,
so here's the bad part. It's like since they start putting these cuts out on social media, Keith's watching the entire show. So, you know, when Poobah was here, it was like, you could do whatever you want. You
well, there's
got to
be a way we can do a sped-up clock in the bottom for soup time.
Oh, that's true. It took me 3.5 segments to eat soup yesterday, because now I'm taking my time. Like, normally, you know, Jeff would go on these long rants, and I would sit here, and I'd be like, oh, I could have an entire bowl of soup.
But you know people would totally watch the time lapse of you eating a
yes.
cup of soup.
Oh, for sure, yes. For sure. So, I'm a little behind the scenes. Last week, I was upset about something. And so I had to walk out of the studio. I walk downstairs to the little store, and I grab a bag of chips. And I come back up here, and I think I wolfed down the bag of chips in less than 30 seconds. I walk out the door, and Keith is all over me. All over me. He's like, how was that bag of chips? Did you take a second to breathe? Did you come up? Did you need a harness around your mouth to eat those chips a little bit quicker? And I was like, you don't even want to know. So,
Keith cares because he don't want you choking on the chips.
Well, I give you credit this morning, too. You got a haircut for the show this morning.
I can't
believe that.
We'll talk about that a little later.
Oh, that's a segment? Okay.
Oh, that's going to be a segment. Yep.
Welcome to the morning show.
Oh, I love
it. We turn haircuts into segments.
I love it. Yeah, Daryl, I mean, looking good there. You got a little good-looking buzz cut. But you did it for the show this morning because you knew about the cuts.
Yeah, I had a hair emergency last night. We'll talk about it later in the show.
Yeah, I just need to thank Miami Hockey for giving me a hat this morning. All right, let's get into the hard-hitting stuff this morning. What did you think of that press conference? What did we learn, Daryl? How did we become better Browns fans by listening to Tommy Reese's press conference yesterday?
Well, he's the new Alex Van Pelt, the younger version. He sounds a lot like Kevin Stefanski, so if there is something, if you're a Browns fan, you can take away, I guess, as a consolation in this whole disaster, that they seem to be on the same page, that they're going to be on the same page going forward. But to your point, it doesn't matter unless they can find a quarterback. And I don't know. It's one of the questions I asked yesterday. Like, I don't know how you're going to draw up an offensive system this offseason without knowing who the quarterback's going to be, or the quarterbacks, plural, are going to be. So, good luck, Tommy Reese. Wish you well. It's great that they were able to keep him in the building. They wanted to prevent some brain drain there and having him go off, whether it was Mike Vrabel or whatever. I've mentioned this before. He's highly regarded in NFL circles and coaching circles. He's thought to be an NFL head coach in waiting. I think at some point he'll call plays for the Cleveland Browns. I just don't think it's going to be this year, but... shout out Kevin Stefanski for ending that suspense yesterday.
You got to help me, because one of the things that he said in there was the quarterback's top job is to solve problems.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, decision making. You got to make split second decisions. They've got to be quality decisions, and you're making 60 to 70 of those per game. So that, putting it through the coach speak translator, that's, I don't really want Jameis Winston. I don't want a guy that's going to be turning the football over all the time, because the Browns have been among the league leaders in turnovers the last couple of years. And they got away with it in 2023. They also got away with playing five different quarterbacks. But I kind of feel like reality hit this past season as far as the legit condition of the roster, as well as the not getting away with just, you know, throwing stuff against the wall at that quarterback position and crossing your fingers, hoping you get lucky. But the reality is this year, that's what they're going to be doing once again, because, and we'll talk to Dane Brugler coming up at 8 o'clock. I am of the opinion right now, and I'll pull a Kevin Stefanski here. Yeah. I reserve the right to change my mind.
Well, so listen.
I don't think there's a Daniels in this draft. I don't think that there's a franchise savior in this draft.
You're saying that Tommy Reese Painter doesn't mean Jalen Monroe is the guy, that they're bringing him in because they work together.
Didn't he have like 21 interceptions at Alabama or something?
They
like
work
that?
Together. It doesn't matter. These two guys were together at Alabama. So now that's a big reason why they brought him in, so they could draft this guy at number two. Yesterday, I thought you were hysterical when you were on our show, because Jeff brought, we spent probably 20 minutes laying out an argument, and that's all we're doing. We're not actually saying, and so I got to defend Jeff on this one too. We're doing this, let's find ourselves a quarterback, right? So we're sitting here every day.
We should have a wheel for that, by the way. We should have a station wheel daily that we spin and see what part of the dumpster we dive in to find the quarterback this offseason.
And that's who we talk about for the day?
And that's who you talk about.
Quarterback of the day.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Well, that's kind of what we've been doing. And so all Jeff is, Jeff's done a ton of research on this. I just kind of ride the train on that one. So, and I'm sitting there and I'm just listening. I've seen, probably 90% of the guys that he's talking about, 95% of the guys that he's talking about. If you go back and watch Moreau's highlights, he looks the part, but you're watching the highlights. You're not watching the lowlights, and I think that's part of the issue.
Well, and that's part of my argument against Shedeur Sanders. I've watched four of his games live, and okay, I'll grant you, there's some talent there. I'm not impressed. Takes a ton of sacks. I don't think his arm's all that great. Like, I think it's more about the name than it is the quality of the player.
That's the problem with our organization, though.
Like,
I haven't watched college football in years until this year, because the Browns haven't needed a quarterback, right?
Right,
essentially,
yeah.
Right?
And we haven't had draft.
We've been out of it. Cam Ward was the only guy that I watched and went, okay, that guy could be it. And now if
he's
the
not
Titans are doing this Travis Hunter thing, though, if they're going to do the, whatever – premier player, whatever their GM said, you know, on the sidebar conversation the other day.
They're not going to pass up that generational talent.
Yeah, but that's fine. You can have the third best cornerback and the third best receiver in the draft. That's cool.
Is there a generational talent in this draft class, though? There's good players. Don't get me wrong. I think that there's some really good players in this draft. But is there a generational talent? I honestly don't know.
I don't know how any of us would know at this point. I mean, I know we've said...
I felt like Myles Garrett had the potential to be a generational talent when they drafted him. He's exceeded my expectations. I thought he'd be a really good player. I did not think that he would, like, 8 years into his career, it's time to fit him for the gold jacket in Canton.
Right.
Because I think that he could retire in a year or two, and he's going in first ballot.
You asked, is there a generational talent? I still think we'll get hyped up here before the draft, so I still think that might emerge in some way or shape or form.
I mean, at the time,
Hunter seems to me the one guy that... but again, when you got a guy that plays offense and defense, you still kind of wonder what this thing's going to look like down the road. So it might be hard to sink your teeth into saying that anybody... Like, I love Abdul Carter, the guy from Penn State, the edge rusher. But when you think about him... I'm size-wise, it's hard to. You're looking at, you know, Myles Garrett, and they don't look the same. You know what I'm saying? They don't.
Yeah.
Like, Myles is like a superhero, and Abdul is a very, 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 very good outside edge rusher on defense. And so you can see it, but the question is he going to be able to kind of live up to that expectation? I think it's tough. Like, I would not want to be, you know, left tackle on this team for the next 10 years still because of Joe Thomas.
The flip side of that coin is, at the time, you know, there weren't a lot of teams that thought Patrick Mahomes was a generational talent.
That's true.
And now look at what he has become. So you can find generational talent. My question is, can Andrew Berry see what a generational talent looks like?
I think that's a fair question. I think we're all sitting there. They're going to have 12 picks, right?
I mean, he did take Jed Wills over Tristan Wirfs, so I'm just saying. Like, he kind of missed that one pretty big.
But other teams make mistakes, too.
I understand that. Like, my point is, can he see that? Because that's his job. Can he identify the generational talent that's going to be available to the Cleveland Browns with the second overall pick in the draft? I don't know, but, you know, if I'm Tommy Rees right now, I guess feeling good. It's a step up the ladder. It's a step closer to becoming a head coach. Not going to get to call plays yet. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, because Kevin calls plays pretty well. It's just the players don't execute them very well.
Did Tommy Rees define what he wanted yesterday? I thought he did a little bit. I mean, clearly every coach in the world or every offensive coordinator is like, I need someone to take care of the football, right? I need someone who can spread the ball down around the field to multiple guys. I need to be able to... You know, find a guy that can lead this offense when the play breaks down, that they're the offensive coordinator.
Well, I don't think you're ever going to hear a coordinator say that, hey, I want a guy who can't throw it within 5 yards of receiver, and I hope he throws it like 25 picks in a season. You'll never hear that from an offensive coordinator.
All right.